All right, today is a Football Friday brought to you by Yuengling, a beer as bold as those who drink it. Tap into your inner eagle. Yuengling, spread your wings. Hoopsville, Pennsylvania. Please drink responsibly.
What's your inner eagle look like, Zaslow?
I don't know.
You better tap into it.
I do have a problem, though. For one, let me
I feel like you've had a lot of problems this week, you know, between you and your WrestleMania tickets.
No, but I solved those problems. For folks who have questions about tomorrow, if you're involved in the Dribble Drive with us, if you have any questions about tomorrow, where to go, what you need to do, that kind of deal, you go to heathelpcure.org/events, okay? And all of your information is right there, okay? If you are curious about anything, if you don't know what you're supposed to do or where you're supposed to go, heathelpcure.org/events. And it tells you everything that you're going to need, where to be, and that kind
Look
of
thing. Look at that. It has three tabs, Dribble Drive Challenge participant information. Then it has a Dribble Drive participant information and a Dribble Drive Dash participant information. And it gives you all of the information you need. Look at that. I've been looking for that forever.
I just clicked on the Dribble Drive from Vizcaya, okay? And it tells you right there to be there at Vizcaya Gardens, 10:30 a.m., okay, you got to be there by 10:30 a.m., and there you have it, okay? So you go to heathelpcure.org/events, and you'll see if you got any questions or you feel like you haven't gotten the email or you gloss through it and you put it in your trash bin, okay, whatever it is, all right? It tells you everything, okay? And you could pick up your packets, you know, and that kind of, you know, the basketball and all that Saturday morning between 9 a.m. and 10:15 a.m. at Vizcaya, for instance. Like, if you're doing just the Dribble Drive from Vizcaya, get there between 9 and 10. It's going to start at 10:30 at Vizcaya, but you could pick up your packet, your jersey, all of that stuff. So all the information that you need is there, okay, if you are participating tomorrow. I hope you are. Hope to see everyone. It's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. It's a great cause. Going to raise a lot of money or continue to raise a lot of money. Really good stuff. So, anyway, you got the Heat back in action tomorrow night. They are taking on the Pelicans. You do have some NBA news with Carmelo Anthony. I mean, just how about that? I like it that they signed Carmelo Anthony. I thought Carmelo Anthony was waiting for that to happen. Just getting such a raw deal, man.
I know. I feel so bad for Melo. I really do. It's just not the way that he should have gone out, and I'm glad that it's not the way he's going out. I'm glad there's a little bit more left in his NBA career, because no matter what you think about Carmelo Anthony, I mean, he was a hell of a player, and it doesn't matter what you think about him or if you think he's a selfish player or if you think he's not going to take a bench role well. I mean, that dude was a hell of a player, and he certainly has deserved better than he's gotten here the last couple years.
I'm glad he's back in the league. And it'll be interesting what happens, but it's funny when you look at it from this perspective, okay? The Portland Trailblazers have been one of, if not the biggest disappointments in the league.
Now, they are panicking. It does feel like a panic move to me, because you're correct that they have been one of the most disappointing teams. Certainly
the most disappointing
team in the West, I will give you that, and it's a stacked Western Conference. However, how many games into the season are we? Let's calm down a little bit.
They're
right?
12 games in, but they also just got dealt a major injury blow at the same position that Carmelo happens to play.
Well, that's the whole reason that they're bringing him in.
But this Portland team is just funny to me, where it's like they made the Western Conference Finals last year, and the way that they feel like the way they think they can get over the top, over the hump this year, is to bring in Hassan Whiteside and Carmelo Anthony. They were a Western Conference Finals participant last year, and in an attempt to get over the hump, they're bringing in Hassan Whiteside and Carmelo Anthony. And when you look at it that way, wow, does that seem stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad Carmelo's back in the league. It doesn't make a lot of sense that he wasn't in the league. Let's get to our headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
You can text into the show at 67974. Text writes, I believe everyone has it wrong. Garrett is simply trying to put the helmet back on his head.
Okay. All right.
That's a take.
I don't know
for
sure.
It's a new angle.
I don't know what happened for sure.
It's true. Maybe he just thought, you know, oh, he doesn't have his helmet on, and I'd like to replace it. I accidentally ripped it off, and I'd like to put it back on your head. So here you go.
This thing snap back on? You know, here. All right.
These headlines are brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Is your family ready for cold and flu season? Knowing when it's the flu lets you know when to call your doctor. The flu brings a fever, so be prepared with a thermometer you can trust. The Exergen temporal scanner backed by more than 70 clinical studies. Your Miami Heat, they whooped that Cleveland ass last night up in Middle Earth. Zaslo, they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 108-97. Kendrick Nunn, that is your boy. He is the best. He led Miami with 23 points.
He was awesome last night.
It's the first time since the early 60s that an undrafted rookie has gone five games in a row with a 20-plus point performance.
Well, he hasn't gone five games in a row.
I mean, not five. Has had five games a season with a 20-plus. It would be really awesome if he did it five games in a row.
I think it's that.
I just set the bar a little high. It's that he's had 20-plus games performances five games.
Okay. He had 23 last night.
In the first 11 or whatever it is.
And 8 assists. And once again, you know, and this is what he was doing in those first five games this year where he was setting that record for, you know, rookies, was he is shooting the ball well, okay? He was 10 of 16 last night. He, of course, went through that stretch where, you know, he was shooting under 40% for like four or five games in a row. But this performance is what we saw in the first five games of the year where I think in three of those five he had over 20 points. And he was so good last night, okay? He got off to a great start in the first quarter, and then in the third quarter, he scored seven real quick points early in the third, put him over 20 at that point, and really just led the way for Miami all night long. And here's the best part, and, you know, we saw this with Atlanta, okay, when the Heat played the Hawks at American Airlines Arena, and he did what he did, and then you look at the other side, and Cam Reddish is a no-show, and even who was the other rookie? DeAndre Hunter, I think is his name, and he didn't do anything either, the number five overall pick. And last night was another example of that where the Cavaliers, they selected Darius Garland, fifth overall in the draft this year, number five overall. He was a non-factor last night, you know? And Kendrick Nunn, rookie also. Now, he's a lot older than Darius Garland. He's like 5 years older. 5 or 6 years older than Darius Garland. He's 24 years old, okay, Kendrick Nunn. But Kendrick Nunn, undrafted rookie, just, I mean, dominated last night. Darius Garland did nothing. And the same thing goes for Colin Sexton. Like, Colin Sexton wasn't any good last night either. Colin Sexton was number 8 overall pick last year for Cleveland. Now, Sexton's having a nice start to this year, so specifically I would point to Garland, who was number 5 overall this year, and our undrafted rookie just dominated last night. So, like, I love seeing that. And he even said after the game where when he's going up against a guy who was a lottery pick this year, he's got something extra for him. I mean, he totally admitted it after the game last night. So I think that's a really cool thing when you got lottery picks who are struggling and not performing, and Kendrick Nunn is just out here balling. And last night was another example of that.
Yeah, it's 520 plus in his first 11 since the 60s. It's the first time that's happened since the 60s for somebody undrafted. Pretty amazing. Bam, he put up 16 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, and a block last night. He's pretty good, Zaslo. And that's what you want to see. Like, these performances from Tyler and Kendrick Nunn, I heard Tobin say it this morning. He called it, I don't know, gravy or icing on the cake or something. And it does feel a little bit like that. Like, what you're getting out of those guys is awesome, but you weren't relying on getting that out of those guys. What you did expect is the growth from Bam, and that's what you really wanted to see this season. And we're getting that.
I felt there was a lot of pressure on Bam coming into this year, and for me, I think those questions have already been answered, okay, because this is a consistent performance from him. 16 points, 15 rebounds. Bam getting the minutes at center. He played 40 minutes last night, and we know Hassan was never playing 40 minutes. He's playing around between 25 and 30. But having Bam get those minutes now, I do believe is a major reason why the Heat are among the best passing teams in the NBA. They had 31 assists last night. 22 of them came in the first half. That's an ungodly number, 22 first half assists. They had 34 assists the game before that. You get over 30 assists in a game, that's a very, very big number. And I think a main reason for that, a main factor, is because it's Bam who is getting those starting center minutes because they can run offense through him. He's an excellent passer. Did you see the poster, I don't know what you want to call it, but did you see the picture that the Miami Heat tweeted out last night of Bam dunking the ball? Myers Leonard's kind of standing next to him, and Myers responds, I was like, damn, how's the air up there, Bam, you know? But in the picture, Bam, you could see, is smiling as he's dunking, and Myers Leonard's wife is the one who pointed it out,
Because, oh, yeah, that's true. I am seeing it. He's not just smiling. He's like cheesing.
He is smiling.
And it's a two-handed dunk. Like, it's a two-handed slam.
Mid-flight.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And Myers Leonard's wife is the one who responded to it, tagging Myers and Bam on it, saying, "Is Bam smiling here?" And, yeah, he's in mid-flight, two-hand tomahawk, and he, I mean, looks like the Cheshire Cat.
It's amazing.
It's a great picture.
That's really cool.
Really fun picture.
That dude loves playing basketball. Loves it. Jimmy Butler, he also loves playing basketball. He gave you 14 points, 6 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks last night. Tyler gave you 16 points in 22 minutes.
How much better is it when you say Tyler and it's Tyler Hero and not Tyler Johnson?
It's much better. Do I need to start adding
better.
The Hero? I feel like people know, right? Like
it's
people have
so
adjusted
much
to
better
that.
When you say Tyler and it's Tyler Hero instead of Tyler Johnson.
Myers Leonard gave you 12 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 blocks last night. Miami back in action on Saturday. They will host the New Orleans Pelicans after the dribble drive.
Fly, Pelican, fly.
I'm noticing that the dribble drive information says that we're going to tell you, Wes, if you're still parked at the arena at 4 p.m.
Does it really?
Yep.
All right. Well, look, the dribble drive, all of it is ending on the practice floor. There'll be a little celebration. You're getting your autograph.
There's some treats.
Basketball from Bam Adebayo. But that is done by 2 p.m. Like, we are off the court at 2 p.m.
Better be, because they've got to warm up and get ready for a game.
Yeah, we are off the court at that point.
The Florida Panthers, they lost to the Winnipeg Jets 4-3 because Bob sucks.
Well, I mean, that's a strong statement, but...
I mean, we're getting to that point.
3 goals in the third period from your $70 million goaltender. It's extremely disappointing. The Panthers with the rare regulation loss last night. Now, Winnipeg's a good team. Okay, there's no shame in losing to Winnipeg, but 3 goals in the third period in a game where, you know, especially in the first period, I mean, Winnipeg had only 2 shots on goal in the first period, all right? And they started to put it on Bobrovsky in the third, and they end up scoring 3 goals. Real disappointing. The Panthers got a goal with about 90 seconds left to cut a 4-2 lead to 4-3 and never really got an opportunity after that to tie it.
I mean, his save percentage, he is 48th on a list of 50 goaltenders.
He's been bad. He's been bad so far through a quarter of the season. Yeah.
Like, that makes him one of the worst.
He's been bad.
That's
bad. Disappointing. I was surprised that Montembeau did not get the start last night, because I thought Montembeau deserved to get the start after the performance in Boston. Team is down 4-0. They pull Bobrovsky. Montembeau comes in the third. He shuts the door and he gave the Panthers the opportunity to climb back in the game. Okay, he gave up no goals in the third period. Overtime, gave up 1 goal in the shootout, 1 out of 4. And I thought he deserved. Now maybe Quenneville thought that would have sent a bad message.
Right. I think he's trying to stick with his guy. I think you're trying to stick with your $70 million guy, who was your big fancy free agent signing in the offseason that had Panther fans all excited. And he's supposed to save the day for the Florida Panthers and take us to the playoffs and make a real run here of things. And I think that you're trying to stick with your guy, and you're hoping that he gets going here at some point.
Yeah, that may be it. Maybe as simple as that.
Thursday Night Football, the Browns, they defeated the Steelers 21-7. We have been talking about that brawl all morning long where Myles Garrett.
Whoa, look how fired up they are on television there, Amber. Look at
them.
They're yelling at each other.
Fired up. We don't have the sound on, but we can see on First Take that they are fired up.
Max Kellerman and Damian Woody, they're yelling at each other. It's called the Trial of Myles.
Well, Damian Woody's yelling at Max Kellerman.
Yeah.
I don't know what Max Kellerman's yelling right now. Myles Garrett, of course, he was ejected for swinging a helmet. He ripping Mason Rudolph's helmet off and
Weiland.
Then swinging on top of Mason Rudolph's head.
Seriously, I had a mouthful of peanut butter and jelly when I got back to the couch. Like, oh, what's going on here? And then I hear Aikman yelling, it's barbaric. I don't want to see this again. Hide the women and children. I don't know.
Eating peanut butter jelly at, like, midnight, huh?
It wasn't that late. It was like 10:30.
You have a glass of milk, too?
I was hungry. I didn't have dinner because the game was at 6 o'clock, so I was on the air at 5. Like, where am I fitting in dinner here, you know? So I made a peanut butter jelly sandwich when I got home.
Very adult of you, Zaslo.
It's the end of the week. I got to get to Publix. The end of the week, we start to run low, you know?
The Miami Dolphins, they host the Buffalo Bills this Sunday. 1 p.m., you know, groceries can be delivered to you now. It's called 2019.
Nah, I like doing it myself. I find it relaxing. I like going up and down the aisle.
Oh, you're one of those.
I like
you're
picking
one of those
out
the who
foods
likes the grocery shopping.
I do
shopping.
Like it. I don't mind it. I like. I do the grocery shopping in my house. I like it. Yeah.
Miami is a 6.5-point home underdog. Okay. The only time I'm okay with grocery shopping, like, I like grocery shopping if I'm just going, like, I'll go to Fresh Market often to get, you know, like, a thing. That I don't mind doing, going and getting a couple things, like a couple
order.
Fancier things. But if I need to actually just go grocery shopping, like at Publix or Costco, and get a whole bunch of stuff, eh, not for me. It's not
my
fun.
My wife, she makes
Do
me
it.
A list,
not fun.
And I get all the stuff.
Oh, she makes you the list.
And I get everything.
The Portland Trailblazers, they signed Carmelo Anthony.
And if I forget something on the list, I lie and I say they didn't have any more.
To a non-guaranteed contract. She hasn't figured that one out yet, huh? Mike Trout, he won the AL MVP for the third time in his career. Bellinger won NL MVP this season. And Tom Brady's shady trainer says that he wants to play, that Tom wants to play until he's 47 years old.
Okay. I hope he does. Because I told you what my dream is for Tom Brady. He needs to go out like Marino. I want him going out just throwing pick sixes left and right, and just he's terrible.
Why 47?
Whatever. I mean,
like, if you're going to 47, why not go to 50? Like, 47, what's significant about 47?
Whatever the age is, he needs to go out. He cannot go out on top. He needs to go out with the knee braces and pick sixes galore. That's my dream.
Or he's just going to go out at 47, still the best.
No.
And those are your headlines.
All right. You know, coming up in about 10 minutes from now, we talk to Nick Costas from You Better You Bet. He's our Radio.com sports betting insider. He's going to help us with the plays this weekend. Brian will be in studio with us at noon. I'm looking forward to getting a football player in here and we get his perspective. They're so angry on this television. The trial of Miles.
I'm surprised. I think I'm surprised how angry all the football players are. It seems like the football players are the ones most angry, and I feel like they should be the least angry because it's not like this isn't. I mean, you know, listen, the helmet being used as a weapon's a bit unusual, but it's not like there aren't crazy fights in football games all the time, and even in practice. So I've been a bit surprised at the reaction with some of the actual former football
players. But
most
of the players are very upset with Myles Garrett, right?
Yeah. That's what I've been surprised by is how strong that most all of them have been against Myles Garrett.
Yeah, they're very angry. Very angry. Look at Pouncey stomping him out. It's like menace to society.
I think what they understand is that
Calm
I think what
down,
we're
down, Zazzle. It's not menace to society. That was nothing.
I think what we're seeing is football players feel like, yo, that could have risked his career. Like, we don't risk each other's careers.
I got these cheeseburgers. Nick Costas, You Better You Bet. He's our sports betting insider. Zazzle and Ambry joins us next. All right, you know what time it is every Friday. We got to figure out how to make that money for the weekend. I had the Steelers last night. I knew it was a trap. I didn't care. I'm not betting the Browns. Was never in the game last night. All right. Let's go out to the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores. Guest line truly steps beyond convenience. Our pal is Nick Costas on the line from Radio.com. Radio.com sports betting insider and host of You Better You Bet, Nick Costas. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. You can hear Nick on You Better You Bet every night on the Radio.com app and on the website. Hey, Nick, how are you today?
Zazzle and Amber, what's going on? Great to be with you guys and the great people of South Florida on this glorious Football Friday.
Let me ask you something. You know, I'm going to put you on the spot for a second here, but Kaepernick has got the workouts that are scheduled for tomorrow. Do we have any kind of, like, betting line and betting favorite for, you know, who could sign Kaepernick based off of what's taking place tomorrow?
I haven't seen any, but, like, I've been asked this question a couple times. I'm going to give you the same answer I give anybody. If you took the percent chance that Colin Kaepernick is signed for the 2019 NFL season after this workout tomorrow, if you took that percent chance and you multiplied it by a million, the percent chance would be zero. It is not happening as far as this season is concerned. I do think, though, there's a chance that Kaepernick could get signed for next season. But the reason why this is impossible to handicap, because there's so many things that are beyond the game of football here. Like, do we know, and this is not meant to be a political thing here, like, or like getting my political take. No one cares what I think, so I'm not trying to give it. But, like, is Kaepernick still going to kneel before the national anthem? Like, these are things that we need to know if we're going to handicap, is Colin Kaepernick going to be on an NFL roster next year? Because NFL teams might want to stay away from that. You know, 3 years ago, there's no question he was good enough to be on an NFL roster. We don't know if he's physically there at this point. I would guess that he still probably is. And I would guess that, you know, at his athletic apex that he's better than some of the scrubs and jabronis that have jobs right now. So I think there's a chance he could be signed for the 2020 NFL season, but it ain't going to be as a starter. Like, he ain't starting for anyone. That ain't happening. He ain't getting the keys for a 16-game season, but he could definitely be a backup quarterback, but way too much unknown to try and handicap that situation. But I feel very confident in saying that I don't think he's going to get signed by anyone this season.
Okay. All right. Let's move to the Dolphins on Sunday, okay? The Dolphins, again, they win last week. I think it's 5 weeks in a row now that they have covered against the spread. We know they've won two of those games outright, two in a row. They are a 6.5-point home dog right now. What do we make of Dolphins and Bills?
You know, but first off, Brian Flores, man, what a great job he's done. I think Dolphins fans should be thrilled about what this team's building now with all the draft picks they've got coming up and this coaching staff in place. And I mean that sincerely. I think he's done a magnificent job. And I kind of like the Dolphins on Sunday to cover this number. You know, we have a bunch of odds makers come on the show, You Bet throughout the week, including Dave Sharapin from CG Technology. And every week we ask Dave, and I think he's gotten every one of these right with the exception of the Bengals last week, which everyone had and everyone lost on last week. What was the value pick of the week this week in the NFL when you look at the board? And he said without hesitation, the Miami Dolphins, getting all those points against the Buffalo Bills. I will say this is less of a play on the Dolphins, although, like, I do kind of like the Dolphins in this spot. And it's more a play against the Buffalo Bills. Now, Buffalo, the one-loss record looks good right now, but they're kind of fraudulent given what their record is right now. They're not a bad team, and I'm not insinuating that they couldn't maybe sneak into the AFC playoffs with, like, the 6th wild card seed. But this is not, like, an 11-5 team or a 12-4 team. But that is just not who they are. So I'm going to take the points with the Dolphins, and I'm going to feel pretty good about it on Sunday.
Let's look at some of the key games, okay? Baltimore is hosting Houston. Everyone's got their eyes on the quarterback matchup, Watson and Jackson. Ravens giving 4 at home. What do we like there?
I like the over in this game. If I had to pick one bet that I really like in the game, it would be the over. Now, it has picked up a couple points from 49 to 51. I got it at 50 a couple days ago. I still like it at 51. I still think that it's worth a bet. The Ravens are going to be able to run the ball in the Texans defense and put some points up. And when that happens, Bill O'Brien can't do the dumb crap that he likes to do, which is put the ball in Carlos Hyde's belly 20 times a game. It's going to be Deshaun Watson in catch-up mode. And it's like, I almost don't care who the other defense is. Like, Deshaun Watson in catch-up mode when the Texans need to score to stay in the game, he's going to get the job done because he's absolutely awesome. So I'm going to take the points with the Texans. I think the Texans are alive. I wouldn't be shocked if they won the game. I think Baltimore will probably win, but I think it's a field goal game on either side. So I do like Houston, but I like the over. I like the total more than I like the side in that game. So Texans and the over on Sunday.
Is that our favorite total for Sunday?
You know, I think there actually are a couple unders that I really like. I mean, the Sunday night football game, the Bears and the Rams, like, I mean, you have to be, and I kind of am a big masochist, but I feel like you have to be a significant masochist to take the over in the Rams and the Bears. Like, last year, these two teams played on Sunday Night Football, and the Colts in Chicago, you know, they basically sent offensive football back to the Mesozoic era, and, you know, Mitch Trubisky looks like a Tyrannosaurus with little baby arms trying to complete the forward pass. So I think the only way that I would look in that Bears-Rams game would be under. I also like the under in the Eagles-Patriots game with Philly as a 3.5-point home underdog against New England. But my favorite over of the week is the one that I just gave you. It's that Ravens Texans over.
Okay. How about dogs? What's our favorite dog? I especially like the home dogs. What do you think?
You know, it's a great question, Zaslow. So give me one second here, because I actually have my notes from last night. You bet right in front of me. Every single week we give a money line underdog parlay. You can take like 3 or more underdogs on the money line to win the game outright. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are a lot of underdogs this week that have a chance to win outright here. And I actually have them all written down here. I think the Jaguars have a chance to beat the Colts. I give the Bucks a chance to beat the Saints. And I like the Bucks to cover that spread. The Dolphins. The Jets are short underdogs. They're only like 2-point underdogs, but they still count because they're underdogs. I think the Jets could beat the Redskins. We got the Texans. We got the Eagles. We got the Chargers on Monday night, and we got the Bears on Sunday night. But if I had to give my favorite one out of those, I give the Eagles. I think it's a coin flip game, Eagles and Patriots tomorrow in Philadelphia, where, you know, the Patriots don't really have the personnel and the speed on the perimeter to really be able to attack this Eagles secondary the way that we've seen, like, the Cowboys and Vikings be able to attack them. Like, they don't have that offensive firepower in the passing game unless first-round pick N'Keal Harry all of a sudden turns into Randy Moss. Like, I don't see it happening. I think the Eagles are going to keep the air out of the football, run the football on this Patriots defense. Ravens laid out the game plan a couple weeks ago. You can pound the ball on this Patriots defense. That's the way to find success heading into their bye. The Eagles were becoming a very proficient running attack. We saw that in the win against Buffalo. We saw that in the win against Chicago. So I think the Eagles are very much a live dog. I think it's a coin flip game, and I'm getting 3.5 with Philly. I'll take that with the hook. And I think that line will go up as we move closer to kickoff. You may be able to get that at 4 come Sunday with the Eagles.
So we got a lot of dogs here. I like it. We got Tampa Bay. Just to do a quick recap. Tampa Bay plus 5.5. Jacksonville plus three, Philadelphia plus 3.5, Miami plus 6.5. You like a couple of unders, New England, Philadelphia, under, Chicago, LA Rams, under, Baltimore, Houston, over. If you had to give us a great play of one of the marquee games on Saturday, okay, do you wanna throw us a bone? I mean, maybe it's Georgia and Auburn. Everyone's obviously interested in that. Maybe Navy, Notre Dame. A lot of folks love that. Is there a big game on Saturday to kind of whet our appetite and get the weekend going?
Yeah, I'll quickly give you picks for like three or four of the big games on Saturday right now. And just for the Jaguars-Colts game, I do like the Jaguars. I like the under a little bit more in that game, though. So people are considering betting that game. A lot of the pro bettors we had on this week lean the under in that game. But I do like the Jacksonville Jaguars tomorrow. But as far as Saturday is concerned, let's hit the big game. Let's start with Georgia and Auburn, SEC game of the week. Georgia's a three-point favorite at Jordan-Hare. I think it's a very tough game to cap. I think that there are cases to be made for either team in this game. I kind of lean Georgia, but not enough to put my money down. If I had to do anything with that game, I would take the under. I think that's a 20-17 game, Georgia and Auburn tomorrow. How about Baylor and Oklahoma in the Big 12, where Baylor's a 10-point home underdog against OU? I've been saying all year, I think OU's a fraudulent team when it comes to like people talking about them as one of the elite teams in the country. I think they will lose one more game in the regular season. Almost lost last week, if not for this two-point conversion at the end against Iowa State. I think Baylor's a live underdog tomorrow. I like Baylor against Oklahoma getting those 10 points at home, and I think that correlates to the under in that game as well. Baylor can outscore Oklahoma, so if you like Baylor, I think it stands to reason that it'll be more of a lower-scoring Big 12-type game. So I would go under 67.5. In the Minnesota-Iowa game, there's only one way to look here. Minnesota's going to be the square dog of the week. Everyone's going to remember what Minnesota did last week against Penn State. They're going to see that they're underdogs against Iowa. Everyone's going to bet on Minnesota. That, again, does not mean that Iowa is an absolute lock. It just means that this is a spot where I will put my money down, and I feel like more often than not, it will win. It's not a guarantee that it'll win, but I do kind of like Iowa tomorrow against Minnesota. And since you mentioned the Notre Dame-Navy game, I can give you some good info on this.
Okay.
So Notre Dame opened as a 10-point favorite. It's now down to 7. But despite the fact that the line has moved 3 points, a lot of sharp bettors, a lot of pro bettors are not only on Navy, but think Navy has a chance to win this game outright, find success running on this Notre Dame defense. Me personally, I'm not going to bet on this game, but since you mentioned it, I do want to give you that information that Navy appears to be the sharp play in that game against Notre Dame.
Excellent job as always, Nick. Go ahead and plug the show, obviously, and radio.com. We love it. Go ahead.
Yeah, and look, everyone should download the Radio.com app, not just to listen and watch the You Bet and all the shows on the Radio.com sports platform, but Zaslow and Amber, you know, basically any intercom station around the country that's got the great DVR feature. So everyone should download the Radio.com app, and you can find me on You Bet, Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And then Sunday mornings, we get you set for NFL games, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. So sports gambling, fantasy football, and we have a lot of fun doing it and appreciate the opportunity to promote.
Great job, Nick. We'll talk to you next week.
Wishing you guys and all the great listeners minimal sweats, winning bets, and the absolute very best of luck. And on Sunday in South Florida, Miami Dolphins number one.
There you
Let's go.
Go.
Love that.
Excellent job, Nick. Thanks a lot, man.
Placating to the audience.
That is, of course, Radio.com sports betting insider, Nick Casas. Hey,
although
insider
calls. Although a texter writes in, Nick, we're not taking the Dolphins.
Okay, but you know what? 5 weeks in a row, they've covered.
I know. All right? You would have made a
lot
of money.
Like, you could be cute
if you
want, but 5 weeks in a row. 5 weeks in a row. I bet the Dolphins last week, actually, plus 11. It was so easy. It was so easy.
Look at you. You got one right, Zaslow.
Insider calls are brought to you
And then you lost it all last night.
Insider calls are all brought to you by the all-new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. And again, go check out Nick on You Better You Bet every night on the Radio.com app. You give it a listen. Like talking to him every week. So I got a lot of plays from him for this weekend. Holy crap. I'm going to be so rich. I'm so rich. At the end of the day, oh, my God. It's by Sunday, I'm so rich. All right.
A text writes in, what were his picks again? You can rewind on the radio.com app, and you can listen to everything Nick just said. You could slow it down. You could listen to it. You could pause it. You can write down all the picks and then go make your money, honey.
This is a good opportunity for you, sir, to try out
or
the radio.com rewind.
Why do you assume that's a man?
Well, I assume women are more responsible than men, and we're talking gambling here.
Way to spin it. I like what you did there.
Super irresponsible.
I like what you did there.
So this is a good opportunity to go check out the radio.com rewind, okay? Hit that rewind button. Player, all right, and if you're having trouble, then you come back to us and I'll help you out. But go hit the rewind button, figure out how to use that. It's a good tool. It's gonna come in handy. All right, last night the Heat, they get a win wire to wire at Cleveland. Haven't been able to get to that too much. Been talking NFL, been doing the betting here. Zaslow and Amber, 15 minutes of Heat next. Coming up in about 45 minutes from now, we're going to give away our final two pairs of tickets for WrestleMania 36. Tickets are on sale right now for WrestleMania. They went on sale at 10 a.m. 90 minutes ago. Ticketmaster.com. It's in Raymond James Stadium.
Oh, man. I missed the 10 a.m. start.
Plenty of good seats are still available. I would imagine that ringside.
Looks like I missed out.
I would imagine that $10,000 ringside seat is actually still there.
Oh, I am on it.
All right. So get up on that.
That is $10,000 well spent.
Get up on that.
That's what I want to spend my $10,000 on. Ringside to WrestleMania.
So in about 45 minutes, we will give away the final two pairs. If you sent in a promo telling us why you should win the tickets, you want to make sure that you're listening at that point. And, yeah, we'll set you up. All right. Vlad, let's get to 15 minutes of heat here. Let's do it, man.
This is 15 minutes of heat. Dragic down to 4 seconds. Dragic, a long three.
Bang! Oh, feel my breath. It's red hot. The Dragon from downtown.
And now, 15 minutes of heat.
Brought to us by Comcast. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity XFi. Also by Geico. Great news. It's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
Do you think Ruth knew where Mike Inglis was going with that call when he said, feel my breath?
I still find it to be a confusing call.
Well, he says, feel my breath. It's red hot because he's talking about Goron and he's calling Goron the dragon.
I know.
So it makes sense. It's a clever call. But he goes, feel my breath. And then there's a pause, and I'm just wondering what Ruth is thinking in that moment, because I'm guessing she has no idea where he's going. And then he says, because it's red hot, and then she gives it a little giggle. But I wonder if she may not have known. Was she thinking that she was supposed to actually feel his breath? Because that's a bit awkward.
She may not have known. It may have been early in the season. You know, Ruth last year was her first year, so it may have been early in last season, and you know, maybe she's not putting two and two together immediately that Goron is the dragon.
Maybe she thinks Mike Inglis just has a stink breath.
I don't know.
What did he eat that day?
I don't know. I don't know.
Lots of garlic.
I don't know. But last night, the Heat win their eighth game. They are now 8-3, which is tied for the second best record in the Eastern Conference, third best in the entire NBA. If you want to,
I forgot
that
we were going to discuss whether we were going to bring back sexy stats or not. We forgot to have that conversation off air.
I didn't forget to.
I forgot to. I know we were thinking about maybe, because the season is going very well, and it seems like maybe there's an opportunity for some sexy stats, but I've got to mull over how that's going to go down in 2019. I've got to consider my options, but I've got to tell you, 8-3, that sounds sexy.
I think it's fine. I proposed to Amber last week that I've been thinking about it for a while, that I want to bring back sexy stats after Heat victories. And so
Slim's creepy sexual innuendo.
Yeah, Slim made it creepy last year, you know.
It was the year before. I don't think I did it last year.
Two years ago.
Well, last year I was with child. We were trying to be appropriate.
Yeah, the whole point is that the stats are read in the sexy voice.
Because they're sexy by themselves.
Yeah, it's
just
about
the voice,
though.
And then Slim just made it so creepy that I had to quit.
It's not about the sexual innuendo. I don't even think it's necessary. I think the funny part of the bit is that you're reading a box score and a sexy voice, and people dig that. I don't think you need the innuendo.
All right, should I try it out? I'll try it out real quick. I don't know if I still got it, to be honest. It's been a really long time.
Well, no, I don't want to do it like this, because we don't have the music. Like, if we're going to do it, we need to do it. I don't want to do it just off the cuff right now and do it half-assed, okay?
I was just going to give it a little taste and see if it even works.
All right, so give it a taste. Go ahead, give it a taste.
Wait, hold on. Okay. Kendrick Nunn led Miami with 23 points.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's what I want to do, all right? That's sexy stats. You don't need the innuendo.
Bam Adebayo, 16 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists.
Yes, see, that's what I'm saying.
A block.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want to do. I want to do like that.
I still got it. I
got
to be honest with you.
You know, we'd have the music going.
I need to work on my 1-900 voice.
That's what I want to do.
Kids these days know what a 1-900 is.
No.
No.
No, no, no. 976?
Way too much free porn, though.
So, I mean, let that, you know, marinate if you want.
976? That was a sex line number.
Yeah, 976 were really dirty numbers. You didn't know that? Is that because I'm a little bit older than you? You don't know that?
I don't know. Or
976, right, Vlad? You know about that, right?
Of course.
976 were so dirty numbers.
Maybe just because I had sex instead of calling sex lines?
Better,
I don't know.
You better not be cold. Well, I hope you weren't having sex when 976 was around. I mean, that was really
probably
long time
not
ago.
I've never heard of that.
But anyway, all right, so you can let that marinate. You can think about that, but I do want to bring sexy stats back. I think it's a good idea.
It's been a couple years.
Yep. So last night, though, there's several directions you can go in as far as the Heat last night. The first of which I would say is they are just fun to watch, okay? It is a fun team. They move the ball around a lot. It's awesome passing. It's why they're able to score as much as they've been scoring so far this year. And last night, 108 points. It's not even that much, you know, considering what they've been doing. But 30-plus assists again. It's a fun style of basketball to watch. I think what also helps is it doesn't have to be again, it doesn't have to be Jimmy Butler, like, carrying the scoring load. Last night, 14 points. Right. You know, he was 7 of 11. He doesn't force anything.
He is still with the assists and the steals and the ball. I mean, he's still doing his thing. But, yeah, the point total doesn't need to be there from him.
There were a couple times in the game.
There
were a couple times in the game last night where the Cavs win, like, 12, 14 points, and the Heat need a basket, and he makes it look easy. I mean, he gets to the basket and either gets himself a tough layup or he scored like a running hook right around the hoop, and he really makes it look easy.
Well, we know from that Detroit game, we can see how easily he can turn it on. Like, oh, they're getting a little too close. Like, this lead is getting a little dicier than it should in the fourth. All right, Jimmy Butler time. Bada bing, bada boom.
Six players in double figures, all five starters. The one guy off the bench was Tyler Hero, who returned after missing the previous game with the ankle injury, and he looked great last night, okay?
16 and 22 minutes.
And I'll tell you, last night may not be the game to do it. Dragic had 9 points last night, which feels like a season low. 9 points and 7 assists, which is great, but I meant to bring this up earlier in the week, and if I didn't, I'll do it right now. But the Heat got really lucky. Okay, they really did. Like, I don't know what the miscommunication was with the Heat and the Mavericks, but the Heat wanted to trade Goran Dragic to Dallas.
Yeah, jokes on you, Mark.
In order to I don't understand why Dallas didn't want to do it. It obviously makes perfect sense. You put him with Doncic and, you know, those two love each other.
There's got to be
right?
something. It can't possibly have been a miscommunication. Like, how could you think that we were talking about a different player than the – who did they think they were talking about?
They wanted Olynyk and Derek Jones.
That's right. And instead – and the Heat thought it was Goran and just Goran.
Yeah.
Because Goran Dragic sounds so similar to Kelly Olynyk and Derek Jones Jr.
I don't know, but you know what?
I mean, it makes no sense.
The Heat got really lucky, okay? Now, I think that was before the Whiteside portion of the deal. They ended up trading Whiteside because he had to make the monies work. And also for the Heat's trouble, they had to lose a first-round pick because in getting Maurice Harkless, people forget about that. Maurice Harkless was a member of the Heat for a minute. In getting Maurice Harkless in the trade, they then had to send him out because of the hard cap to, was it the Clippers maybe? And they also had to give them a first-round pick for their trouble, okay? So it ended up costing the Heat a first-round pick, but the Heat are really lucky that they did not trade Goran Dragic. Because even remember, after the confusion with the Mavericks, the Heat apparently still went to Goran's people and said, hey, we are trying to find a spot for Goran. We're trying to move him. We're keeping you in the loop.
They kept it real.
And it never manifested. It ended up being trading Whiteside to Portland and then sending Harkless to the Clippers along with a first-round pick.
So much better than losing Goran.
I mean, they really got lucky. They really
did.
But, man,
they're also getting lucky that Goran has handled it the way that he has. Like, they are getting lucky because there's a lot of players that would get up in their feelings knowing this team didn't want me. This team tried to trade me multiple times in the offseason. This team thought I was washed and was over me. That's the sort of thought process that could creep into your head. And now I'm sitting on the bench and they're making me come off the bench. I've been disrespected. And instead, Goran has handled it like a consummate pro.
And that's why everything that you mentioned is a huge embarrassment to Dion Waiters.
Mm-hmm.
Literally everything that you just mentioned.
Well, Goran Dragic is maybe a million times more mature than Dion Waiters.
You know, just because it's not just about Goran being, he's been an all-NBA player. He's been third-team all-NBA in the past. Goran was an all-star a couple of years ago, neither of which Dion Waiters can make a claim to. Goran has been here longer than Dion Waiters, okay? And on top of it, the team actively thought they had a trade. They thought they traded Goran Dragic. They had a trade for Goran Dragic in their minds, and had, you know, the whole thing gets, you know, reneged and he's back. And then on top of it, oh, Goran, by the way, we're going to move you to the bench, and the guys who start ahead of you are Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson. It's an embarrassment to Dion Waiters. It really is. The way that Goran handles it, because it could have been Dion. And especially considering all of the injuries, specifically Justice Winslow, Dion would have had a major role on this team right now. He thought he wasn't going to have one. He's wrong. He would have had a major role.
He would have started against Detroit.
He would have had a major role. And everything you just said, most notably that they tried to trade him, okay, and then, you know, had to do take-backs, all right, which we know can be a very difficult situation. Hell, it's ultimately why Ray Allen left the Celtics for the Heat, because they actually traded him. They had a deal. They traded him to Memphis, okay, in that final season. Doc Rivers even called Ray Allen from in the hotel and told Ray, we have either Doc or Danny Ainge, we have a deal for you. We're sending you to Memphis. And Ray was obviously pissed. Deal fell through.
I'd be pissed if he tried to send me to Memphis.
Well, they were really good, though, at the time. Deal fell through, and he finishes the year in Boston.
Still Memphis.
And he was upset about it, and he left, for their biggest rival at the time. A lot of players would handle it that way. Goran's handling it this way, and it's an embarrassment to Dion Waiters. It really is. Last night, though, several good things. Mentioned Kendrick Nunn. We mentioned Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler. But Bam Adebayo, man, just getting a ton of love from everyone. You hear just calling him like the heart and soul, and the praise from Jimmy. And look, I felt Bam had a lot of pressure on him coming into this season. And any of those questions that I had, I have no questions anymore. Because this appears to be him. What he's doing right now, it's on a nightly basis.
Well, he did have pressure on him because you expect at this point for him to develop his game and mature more.
Yes.
And to take on a bit more of a leadership role.
And the team
also
is telling
with the
you we are
Hassan,
relying on you now.
It's with the departure of Hassan. Like, you're the guy, you're the dude. And he has stepped up to that challenge.
Like, even just look from a statistical standpoint, okay? Hassan last year was like a 14 and 12 guy last year, okay? And everything that comes along with Hassan. And Bam this year is 14 and 10 and 5 assists. I mean, that's a career high for Hassan. Bam averages it. 5 assists, a block and a half a game, and he shoots 57% overall. Like, Bam has been everything that you wanted him to be. When they decide to give him the keys to this role, he's been everything that they have wanted him to be. All right, Brian Monroe is our pal, former Miami Hurricane. He joins us every Friday at noon. He hangs out with us for a couple hours. We got to get a football player's perspective. The big story of the day everywhere is what took place Thursday Night Football last night. If you missed any of it, well, you're living in a cave. Zazzle and Amber, Brian Monroe is in studio with us. That's next.